Well, let's turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 33. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, these are God's words. Let's give our attention to Him who speaks from heaven. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodoma and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Those are God's words. Having been assured of the Lord's justifying us in Christ by faith, crediting us with Christ's righteousness, and proving that nothing can separate us from God's love, that love of God from us who believe and who are sons of God in Christ, and all that based upon the foundation of His eternal love for us, His foreknowing us, and His predestinating us, we come now to this chapter and come back to the question that we began with in Romans. Well, if that is true, what about the Jews? If all that's true, what about the Jews? What of those who do not believe on Jesus Christ for their life, if they're among the Jews? And we see that salvation and being one of God's children is not based upon one's family. It's not based upon your blood or who your dad or your mom is, nor if you descend directly from Abraham, a Jew, from Abraham or not. It doesn't matter your birth order. If you're the firstborn or the second or third, doesn't matter. Rather, it's based upon the Lord alone and His electing purposes. The Lord in His eternal foreknowledge and electing love. Those are the people who will love the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him. We learn here through verse 11 and then in verse 13, before they were born, having done neither good or evil, so that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of the Lord who calls, verse 13, Jacob I loved, and Esau have I hated. Esau, you remember, is the firstborn, Jacob the second. And yet Jacob I love. Not anything they had done, it was before they were born. They had done neither good nor evil. But Jacob chose Jacob, and he loved from eternity Jacob. And so election and salvation is of God alone. The Lord did this to show forth, verse 22, His power. And to show, verse 23, the riches of His glory to us, His elect, who are the vessels of mercy. Praise the Lord. He has chosen us, vessels of mercy, who have come to Him by faith. Now many of the Jews who are not believing, they will perish. But verse 27, there's a promise. There will be a remnant. There will be a remaining people who will believe. There will be Jews who believe, and we'll hear more of that in chapter 11. Verse 31 is important, that salvation isn't by works, again, but by faith alone. We've already learned that, but it says, verse 31, But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled over Christ and didn't believe on Him. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him, upon Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. But they don't. They have not believed. And so, beloved, in our pursuit of salvation in Christ, as we pursue holiness and righteousness in Christ, we need to pursue Christ. We need to run to Christ. And that's what we are again reminded here as we see the bigger picture of bigger than the human perspective picture of what God is doing throughout all eternity as it has to do with saving His people and how He does so. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise You. We're thankful for the eternal love that we heard last Lord's Day in that word foreknowledge of those whom You foreknow. or foreknew that you predestinated unto, like Ephesians says, good works. And we're thankful that you have turned our hearts, those who have come in faith, but also we pray also for those who are of your elect but have not turned in faith to you. That you would turn their hearts, even today, that the Holy Spirit would be sent and they would come unto you in faith, believing that Jesus Christ is that great rock. Well, we pray that He is not a rock of offense, but a rock to be thirsted after and to drink from Him, of that water from the rock, knowing that that rock was Christ. Father, we ask that You would watch over us, keep us from what people call hyper-Calvinism, that we would not think that You electing certain people from all of Your creation means that we can just sit back and do whatever we want. Or in the preaching of the gospel, that we should not call sinners to repentance, knowing that You freely offer Yourself to all peoples who hear. And if they would only believe, they would be saved. And yet that also is a great error taken from this text, that we can just preach the gospel, but not preach it to individual souls and call them who Jesus offers Himself freely to. He offers Himself to all. And so, Father, we're thankful for this, that You offered Yourself to each one here who has believed. And each one here who has not believed, You have offered Yourself freely. That if we would only turn from our sins to You, we would be saved. We would know the love of God in Christ and have eternal life forever with You. And so, Father, turn us from those wicked sins of what's called hyper-Calvinism, and a denial of the free offer of the good news of the gospel. Father, we also praise You. We're thankful that You have chosen us who are of the most Gentiles, the heathens of the world. Not the Jews, but the heathens. You've chosen us and You've sent Your Spirit into our hearts that we would believe. How the Jew who believes is a vessel of mercy, and yet how much more a vessel of mercy are we who are brought in to the bride. And so, Father, we give You all the praise. That You desired to show us Your glory and the riches of Your glory unto us through vessels of mercy, not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile. And Father, if there be any here who would be so foolish to question You, to question the potter and the creator, that we would remember exactly what the rebuke was in this chapter, but who are You, O man, to answer back to God? If it is Your will that these things are so, and it is, and make us to be submissive to Your will, and praising You for how You have declared it unto us. Father, we do ask for Your help in this congregation, that You would watch over us, that You would continue to sanctify us, even today as we hear Your Word again in a few moments, and in the reading and the expounding of the Word we've just heard in Romans. Father, keep blessing us, even as we sing and admonish, teaching one another, that we would hear Jesus speaking to us and singing with us, and that we would be admonished to follow Him and turn from every wicked way. Father, we ask for Your help as well in this particular congregation, that You would provide for us elders and deacons provide for us in number, financially, and spiritually, your word, to build us up in faith, which we long to praise you. And Father, we pray and ask for your help. We see even this evening, again, so many who have not joined us to worship and yet vowed to devote themselves to the worship of God. And when your word is spoken, the word that comes down from heaven, and we make excuses for why we ought not to be here to hear God speak from heaven. Father, forgive our congregation for this. It is a corporate sin and a vow breaking. Father, we ask that you would turn the hearts of each one and be with the elders as they counsel these who have forsaken the assembling together of God's people. That we would shepherd, the elders would shepherd well. My Father, what a grievous thing it is to us. And not to be able to fellowship with our brethren. And also, Father, not to be able to worship with them in Christ and communion with Him. Help us to be those as your word commands, to encourage one another to attend upon the assembling of God's people. And what a wonderful thing it would be if each one of the families here called up those not present this evening, asking if everything's okay, and encouraging them to worship with us each Lord's Day, morning and evening. For what a joy it would be to see that your house be full, this meeting room full, to hear the gospel proclaimed. Father, we also pray again for Larry, who's in greater pain this evening, that you would heal his back and heal the muscles that are weak and sore. We ask that you be with Elijah, that you would strengthen him, that he would be able to worship with us next Lord's Day and the whole family as well. We're thankful that Mark and Julie and Phil are here this evening. Pray that you would grant them sleep and good rest, especially on as they prepare for the Lord's Day on Saturday evenings, that they might be here faithfully as well. But we're thankful they're here. Pray that you would bless them. We ask that you would care for us. We have some in our congregation with downcast hearts, hearts that are struggling with sin, in which we, in one sense, give praise for, that you are growing your children where they struggle and grieve over their sin. Praise the Lord for that. We ask also, though, that you would encourage each one in Christ and lift them up. For you are the Lord who lifts up and protects and upholds. And so do your great work in each one of us this evening. Father, we ask that you'd provide ministers for our presbytery, those churches we pray for often. And we give you praise that you're answering those prayers as we've prayed many times for the church in Westminster and Manhattan and Laramie and all those have either been ordained and installed, and you've called men there, or has passed his exams to be ordained later. We praise you for this. We pray for those in Houston, San Antonio, and Colorado Springs, that you would provide ministers for them, that they would have the consistent preaching ministry of a godly, zealous, and bold man who loves your word and who lives a holy life. Father, help us. And now as we continue worshiping you, turn our hearts to you from ourselves and from our lusts and pleasures. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.